Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in a bottle, Bobby Moon. So great, got the surprise. I'm getting faded while I'm raising my stock. I'm miles off the dock. I'm running with some niggas straight off the block. So mama praying at the party.
See if we can get some volume. Live Instagram discussions. I have CT Jones on the line with me. He's a fellow relationship guru that gives relationship advice on Instagram. What's going on, CT? Hold on, let me get out. My bad. That's my bad. What's going on, CT,
hello?
Man? We got you on the air. What's going on, bro?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I appreciate you reaching out to me. I think this is be a good opportunity for you and your followers. So hopefully we can get some people to call in. Do me a favor, CT. On your screen on Instagram Live, put in the guest line number so your followers can see the number and call in. The number is going to be 929-46. 477-2994, and if you post it on your screen, you can actually screen so that it'll stay up.
All right, say that number again.
929-477-2994.
All right.
So before we get started, man, let's introduce ourselves. CT, let the audience know who you are and let them know a little bit about yourself, so they'll know that what perspective they're going to be getting from you.
All right. My name is Chris Jones, but you know you can call me CT. It's all good. I'm from Oakland, California. Moved to Indiana in middle school. Finished high school there. Went to Tennessee State, played football there for about 2 years, and then I quit because they wasn't trying to let me do internships, so quit, and then I got applied to an academic scholarship. So then I moved up to Purdue University, where I'm finishing off right now. Oh, and I'm majoring in electrical engineering, and I'm 24.
All right, man, so what's your current relationship status? Are you in a relationship? Are you single?
Man, I've been single since high school. I haven't said anything like that, man. It's been a good story.
Single since high school. I guess that could be a real good thing or a real bad thing, depending on what your goals and objectives are, right? All right, so for those of y'all that don't know, my name is Terry Durod. I'm 38 years old. I'm married. Next June will be 13 years that I've been married. But before I was married, I was a hoe for a very long time. So my perspective comes from the perspective of a man that has been very successful with women in his single life and has what it takes and experienced what it takes to make a marriage last, especially in the times that we live in now. CT, what's your Instagram name? It's somebody on my page that's asking. CT underscore, right? Something like that?
It's CT.J. It's just
CT.J. All right, yep. CT.J. I'll put it on my page a little bit later. Those of y'all that are watching, y'all are welcome to join the conversation. You can call in and ask a question live, or you can call in to just comment on one of the topics that we bring up today. We both came up with a couple topics that we wanted to discuss. But if you have something that you'd like for us to add to the conversation, feel free to call in. The number is, again, 929-477-2994. The more callers we get, I think that the better off we'll be. So we can get into our first topic of the night. What are some of the differences in dating between the past and the new generation of dating that we see? That was something that CT wanted to bring up. CT, did you want to jump on this first, or did you want me to start it out?
I think it'd be best you probably talk about yours, and then I can kind of discuss how it's been different in my experience. So I think it's probably best that you start off with that.
All right, well, for people that in my generation that are 30-plus, that are looking for serious relationships and whatnot, a lot of them experience frustration with dating because of the casual sex culture that we seem to have today. And a lot of that has to do with technology. Technology makes it a lot easier to access other people and interact with other people privately, so it increases the opportunity for people to have casual sex, to meet people in unorthodox ways. So the feedback that I get from the women that are in my generation, they're frustrated with how easy dating seems to be. Man, I'm getting this. I'm trying to adjust, y'all. Y'all gotta bear with me. I'm on the move for the Instagram live, so I'm trying to get the camera angle right. But what people that experience in my day are, I mean, what the experience is, they have a lot of casual fling, and part of that is because of the methods that you said. What
you said in their 30s, they doing this?
Yeah, man. I mean, fling. It's not necessarily by choice, though. You know, most women don't want to have short flings, but people meet somebody, they start dating, they start having sex, and then that cycle only lasts a couple of months for the average person. Like, most situations don't last. So, to me, that's my definition of a fling.
You said only online? You said they only really meet online? Y'all don't meet at nowhere else? Like,
well, they meet online. They meet in a variety of places. It's not just one. Most people that are actively dating are not just trying one method. They're going out, they're meeting people in person. Well, at least most of them are. Some people, though, due to their schedule, their work, et cetera, they only date online, or they date primarily online. And so that creates, a lot of problems, because it's a lot easier to pretend to be something you're not when you're hiding behind a profile and you're communicating through some type of app or through texting. So a lot of women are even more frustrated with the type of guys that they get, because when they meet a quality guy that's on social media or Plenty of Fish or whatever, if the guy's successful with women in real life, he's usually just doing on an app like that looking for casual sex. That's not where men that are looking, that are successful with women and have the credentials that most women look for, that's not how they go about looking for a woman in most cases. Now, there are rare situations where you might meet a quality dude that's got all the credentials you like, that is on a dating site because of his schedule or where he lives or things of that nature, but that's going to be a diamond in the rough, literally. For the women and the people that are in my age, for guys, especially the guys that have they stuff together and have good jobs, they have no problems meeting or dating women no matter where they go. It's the women that usually have the most problems. So from the younger generation, the college age, the 18 through 25, what would you say that how was dating for y'all?
Well, you know, people in college, man, you know, we are really tech savvy, you know, the millennials and all that other type of stuff. But I would definitely say more people meet in more social atmospheres. You know, you'll get a DM here and there, but that's getting kind of played with people my age. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really kick off until like
that's frowned upon youngsters now.
Yeah, and it's just because there's a negative notion with it. There's a negative notion that meeting somebody through social media it's less genuine. You know what I'm saying? So most of the time, the interaction with people between males and females is only gonna be at social events such as parties and et cetera, et cetera. But to me, and how I view it, the interaction is the same as it would be through a DM. It's mainly sexual. You know, it's mainly based off of what she's wearing. If the man approaches the woman, and if the woman approaches the man, it's because of some type of gesture that he did, some sort of small gesture. So, I mean, even though it is more in person, it's more physical, it still has that element of a DM, you know, because that's what people are practicing, it seems like. The better you are...
Well, I mean, the fundamental method of dating is just simply meeting another person and finding a way to communicate with them one-on-one. And
yes.
DM is a very effective way to do that.
It
I mean,
is,
especially
but...
if go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say it is, but I mean you gotta look at the intention. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time when a man writes to a woman on through a DM, it's mainly because of her pictures. And then it's often an infatuation of what she might be and what the type of person she might be and et cetera, et cetera. But it's not actually genuinely about who she is. They don't actually take that time to get to know the person, because off of a DM, very rarely does it turn into like a friendship first. It usually, you know, a DM usually starts off with, hey, beautiful, I saw your Instagram and I'd like to get to know you better. Would you like, you mind if I take you out sometime? It goes straight into the date, opposed to actually getting to know the person. So you skip so many different steps, that's going to be the base and the fundamental of
the
relationship.
I think that's the whole point of dating somebody is to get to know them, right? I mean, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's part of the problem. I see a lot of people have a flawed definition of what dating is and what the purpose of dating is. When it comes to dating, all you're really doing is making plans with somebody else to meet up with them. You're making time out to spend with another individual. It don't matter where it happens. It could be in the dorm room.
You can do that too. Multiple people at once. Okay.
I mean, a lot of people don't view dating as that. They view dating as being in a relationship. You know, the word dating has multiple meanings. So when somebody, one person can say, oh, I'm dating such and such. To some people, that'll mean that they're in a committed relationship together. That's a boyfriend or girlfriend. And some other people will think that, oh, y'all kicking it, y'all hang out a couple of times, and y'all are seeing what progresses between y'all. So the terminology is very broad and is very easy to get misconstrued. You know, I notice whenever I put up a post and it has the word dating or something related to dating in it, people come up with their own term of what dating means and what's acceptable when you're dating. And so that's why I often try to use casual dating, where a person is still single and making it very apparent that they're not being exclusive with someone. But even then, some people take that to mean that they have certain expectations or things that they're required to do simply because they call themselves dating someone. And if the person doesn't do that, they get called playing games or called immature things. You know, there's a negative viewpoint placed upon them simply because they're dating. And so what you're saying that they're going into it when they slide in the DM, right? You gotta say something that's gonna get the person to interact with you. Hey man, your page is cute. I think you're interested. You seem like you'd be fun to hang out with. Whatever. If you can get to know a little bit about somebody by following them and interact and having a private conversation with them one on one. You can certainly learn enough to figure out if you want to meet them in person or not. And so that's where a lot of people, young and old, fail the dating phase. Strangers to meeting somebody, to being their buddy, to start dating them. That's not really practical because the fundamental way that...
It may not be practical, but I definitely say there's an element of appreciation that comes behind that movement of transitioning from dating to a boyfriend and girlfriend. It's hard, like, I feel like people today, they think they just deserve things. Deserve certain treatments just coming up and then giving it. And I don't think that's the case. I'm hesitant to use the word dating just because of the same thing. People have their own definitions behind what dating is. But I can honestly say I don't do get-to-know-you dates. I feel like get-to-know-you dates are me trying to prove to you I'm somebody that you want. I'm trying to prove to you that I'm this great guy, but I have flaws, and by doing that, I'm trying to hide flaws. It's kind of like an interview. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you go to an interview, you try to portray the best side of yourself, right? So it's the same thing when you're dating. When you go straight to dating without actually knowing, you're trying to show them the best side of you, and you're trying to cover up flaws, which then later on those flaws are going to come up. They're going to come up at some point.
I think what you just I think what you just described is somebody that's going into dating with a flawed mindset. That's not what you should be doing when you're dating. You don't have to go in.
Well,
you don't have to hide your flaws.
I'm just saying that's generally what happened because, let's be honest, dating is not successful right now, and that's the general terminology
to
how dating.
That's a big reason why. The approach a lot of people take to dating is why they fail at dating. And what you just described,
I agree that's
a very popular mindset, but it's wrong. That mindset of going into dating, I'm going to hide all of the bad part about me, I'm going to impress them with the good part about me, that's a flawed approach to dating. Like,
but
real
that's
men,
how people
think.
That's
the problem. And so those people... Those people experience problems because of the way that they date and the expectations that they have when they're dating.
Who goes into a new relationship with somebody and you're literally being quizzed? Like, you're literally trying to be quizzed on how you can fit into that person's life. So what are your goals? What are your this? What are your that? You're going to try to portray the best side. No one's going to go into that situation
A person,
because
if somebody goes on a date and they can't,
they're not being real enough
to be authentic from the jump, they're going to have a failure. They're going to set the person up for disappointment. If all you're doing is giving your positives or trying to portray yourself as something super positive by not keeping it real and talking about your negatives or your shortcomings just as much, you're the problem. You're the reason that you portrayed yourself to be as something great, and then when you wait a month or two and then start that you have flaws, that's your fault. You should have been doing that from the jump. Nobody should go into dating expecting perfection, and nobody should go into a dating situation trying to portray perfection. Both of those are fake and unrealistic.
we're on the same page. What I'm expressing is, that can happen. That's all I'm expressing. I'm not expressing that's how I am. I'm not expressing anything
but,
to that extent.
That's what can
happen when you don't take that.
Yeah, that can happen anywhere, though. A dude can go to the club in a fake watch and you know what I'm saying, like be in the club portraying himself to have money. That's part of the game. You have to be able to the purpose of dating somebody, that gives you the opportunity to see what their life is really like.
I don't get to know because they're interviews, and I feel like it's not a genuine circumstance for me to get to know somebody. That's why
what do you think would make it better for you to get to know somebody?
I would never approach a woman off the jump with aspirations to date her and try to make her my girlfriend. I don't know who this woman is.
Yeah, that's smart. That would be a damn fool move. You need to figure out if you're compatible.
Exactly. I want to make sure this woman, me and her, we're compatible on a basis of just friendship. Then off of that, we can.
That's not. I don't think that you're not trying to be her friend though. If any time you go and holler at a chick, you're not trying to be her buddy. You don't go holler at the chick that you just want to be friends with.
That's why I don't.
But nobody's ever gonna do that. Nobody goes into dating saying, "Hey, I want to make sure we're buddies." Nobody wants to be a buddy. If a dude tries to go holler at a chick and she sees him at a buddy, he's not getting her number. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's going to suggest hooking him up with a friend. She's not going to engage him because she's not looking at him as somebody she's interested in. So the two fundamental things that needs to be established for anybody that is interested in somebody else.
Well, I think the first thing we need to break down is why are you first even talking to her, right? If you're talking about a man who goes up to a woman and says, I want her to be my girlfriend, what's the basis of you talking to her? It's because you think she's attractive, right?
A dude
that
does
that,
only dudes that are not successful with women
talking
do
to
that.
Her because you want sex with her. So therefore, the basis of your communication of talking to this female is because of sex. And I'm saying I don't want that to be my base. I'm saying I want my base to be friendship. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying that.
That's not real. I don't think that's realistic. People don't go around. There's no indicator who's the friendliest chick in the club. and you can
hey,
go something
you're
else.
Not gonna be, you're not going to be ever be able to walk around and figure out who's the best friend. Like, you don't want a girl that's going to be your best friend. That's not realistic. Like, you're the idea that I want to marry my best friend, that sounds great. That's a great quote to put on social media, but that's not realistic. Your best friend is not the person that you want to be in a relationship and build your life with. It doesn't work like that. So if you're never going to approach a woman that the woman that might be your best friend is probably somebody you're not attracted to, because your goals and your interaction with the woman that you wanna mess with romantically is not on no platonic buddy best friend stuff. So for you to think that you're gonna meet a chick, y'all gonna establish that we can be besties, and then we're besties enough to be romantic, that's not realistic. That's never going to happen, and that's probably why you just said you've been single for a long time.
Dating somebody, experiencing that type of relationship with somebody is, it only takes one person. So if I believe that's how a relationship should go, and I find another woman who says, I believe that that's how a relationship should go too, we're good. What everybody else does don't matter to me or her. We're going to just do what we want at the end of the day. So just because you may say it's impossible and it's irrational thinking and everything like that, there may be one girl who's listening to this right now and says, that's what I want. That's exactly what I need. And then we go communicate, and then bang, something beautiful just happened. It only takes two people to make a world in a relationship. I don't need the opinion of everybody else and outside forces to say that's what a relationship I want. That's a relationship I want. I just need one other person to believe in that. So, I mean, I get that.
Taking an approach that is not the normal or typical way that people approach dating, that significantly lowers your chances of success. Yeah, what you're saying sounds great. Two people should meet, establish that they can be friends, but in the real world, you're establishing compatibility. That's what will make you have the friendship that you're talking about. When you find somebody that you're really compatible with, when y'all agree on the way that people should treat others, on responsibility, on how they handle professionalism, how they handle confrontation, how they handle conflict, how they problem solve, that is when you will develop the friendship. Because when you meet somebody where you match on those values, that's when you hang out with them more. You hang out with them.
You
get along with.
The only way to say is to establish a. It's for it to be off sexual attraction.
That's
what you should.
You're not. You're never going to be able to look at anybody or if they, or there's no way to look at who you are most potential to be best friends with. How can you do that? The only thing that they can attract a person.
It's not best friends. Here's the thing. You're taking labels and then you're making everybody think of these kindness and definitions behind those labels. When I say a friend, I just say somebody who's going to understand me. It doesn't coagulate with other definitions that everybody else has for friend. Oh, somebody I can call and blah, 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 blah. No. I'm talking about just somebody who – there's different compatibility levels with people. And just with that being said, there's some people who are met – there's some females who you can talk to, regardless of sexual attraction, who they best fit in your life as a friend. They can't handle those outer responsibilities. That being said, if you don't give those responsibilities from the get-go, how are you going to say this person's for me without actually testing that person with those responsibilities? And how the only way I can date pretty much is if I just view her as sex. That's the only thing you've been bringing up.
That's a very narrow-minded perspective. You're not only looking at her for sex. No, like I'm often on my page talking to women that come that talk about just sex. Just sex is a myth. That's a myth, though. Nothing is just sex. You're not looking at her as just sex.
I'm looking at her. You're saying because she's sexually attractive, I should go pursue her, opposed to saying she's sexually attractive and we get along very well and there's other components. I'm just saying
you're not going to figure that out until you spend time with her, though. You're not gonna be able to look around and say, man, she looks like the most fun. That's not how it's gonna work though. You're not gonna be able to just look around and figure out who's gonna be the most fun to hang out with. You look at your initial attraction to a woman is, oh, she's cute. There has to be something that triggers your interest physically. You're not gonna be able to look around and just have some detector to figure out who's the coolest.
If you're physically attracted, I'm saying that's not enough for me to go talk to you. That's not enough to pique my interest. I need other things. That being said, am I gonna go talk to her? Yeah, I go talk to her. Yeah, I'll introduce myself. Yeah, on all those type of things. But I'm not gonna say I want to date this girl just because she's cute. I need more sustenance to that. That's all.
Well,
I'm saying.
See, when you say date, you say you don't want to make her your girlfriend. That makes sense. But in order for you to engage her, to exchange contact info with her, and to actually set time aside out of your life, spend it with her, you have to be attracted to her. If there is no mutual attraction, it's not going nowhere. That's the first fundamental thing that it comes to dating. You need to establish contact information, and then you establish if there is a mutual romantic interest. If you don't have a mutual interest, it's going nowhere. It's not going to go anywhere. You said what?
You're married, right? You're married,
yeah.
Right?
So let me just ask you this.
You don't have any friends that are girls that you met after your marriage?
Yes.
So how did that happen? How did that relationship start? It was because of some type of circumstance that happened to where now you two are communicating, and you two are
it's
cool.
I'm not looking to establish any more relationships. If I was single, it wouldn't have happened like that. It happened because I'm not actively looking for anybody. So when I meet a chick, even if I meet a chick that I would fuck, I'm not putting myself in a position to fuck her because I'm not trying to fuck her. You know what I'm saying? So it's not the same as
in a position to fuck her.
Man, you get in a position to sleep with somebody by just interacting with them. Sexual attraction is natural. It happens naturally. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't take effort.
We're men. We have control over our sexual every action that we have. We have control over. There's nothing as men that we can't control. So therefore, if I'm talking to a girl, and let's say I'm married, and I'm talking to a girl, if she's pointing towards stuff that's sexually, like she's not trying to actually be a friend, then I'm not gonna engage her anymore. Therefore, that whole conversation is over. I'm not instigating or creating any type of situation unless I want that situation to happen. Just because you talk to a female, it does not mean that there has to be some type of sexual orientation in the background.
It does if you're looking at her as somebody to potentially date. If you don't, the only way that you can potentially date somebody, an attraction to one person has to have an attraction. It could be her to you, or it could be you toward her. But there has to be one person that has an attraction and sparks, put the first foot forward. And it's from there, once it's established that the attraction is mutual, that's when they'll continue to spend time together and things can progress. But to go about it with the idea that you're going to be friends with, like, platonic friends, and then translate to something outside of it, that typically doesn't happen. Now, there are situations where a dude can try to be, can call himself being cool with a chick and end up smashing her, you know what I'm saying? Because, like I said before, sexual attraction, especially when it's mutual, it doesn't take anything else. It happens naturally. The body language, all those things that men and women do to show that they're romantically interested in one another happen naturally the more time you spend around somebody. And so that's why people can fail trying to be just friends or fail trying to be just buddies. But it doesn't go from where we meet and then we just hang out. I'm not looking at you sexually. I'm not checking you out. That doesn't happen. If a dude likes a chick, even if he just thinks she's cute, whenever he sees her again, he's looking forward to seeing her physically. Like, then how her hair is going to be. Then how her makeup's going to be. Then what her outfit's going to look like. What her ass is going to look like. He's looking forward to seeing her again. He's not putting that on standby and going into buddy mode. Like, that's not realistic. That's not how things happen. You know, and the fact that if she's an attractive woman, she's going to have other men pursuing her, that's going to make you always come in last place. If you're a man and you're taking that approach. And like you said before, you haven't been in a relationship in a long time, I'm starting to understand why. It sounds like you have a flawed approach to dating as well. And that's one of the things that I'm always talking about to women about on my page.
I appreciate a woman more than just her being attractive. Because that's where the whole conversation has gone. It's gone from me saying, yeah, sexual attraction can be there, but that doesn't constitute me wanting to date a woman. Just because she's attractive does not mean anything to me. I need other things that are more substantive.
Dating means is that you spend time with them more than once. That is what dating is.
Yes.
In the process of you dating them, you're going to establish more than just sexual attraction. If you don't, y'all won't make it to date three. If you don't like what you learn about that woman on date one, you're not going to offer her date number two. If you don't like what you experience with her on date number two, you're not inviting her for date number three. So there is more than just physical attraction. The starting point is for physical attraction. Nobody said that you go from, hey, she's cute, will you be my girlfriend? That's how elementary boys date. That's not how anybody in the real world dates.
Every girl who's attractive will never have an actual friend who's a guy because he will always in the back of his mind be trying to sleep with her. That's pretty much what you've been saying.
That's not true. That's not true.
Friends. Speak about women and friendship with women like this, but then, like, how does your wife feel about you being friends with women that's like, where you're at? You know what I'm saying? Like, how can she trust you?
My wife cannot prevent me from meeting women that I would find sexy enough to smash. All my wife can do is trust me enough to control my behavior. She can trust me enough to not put myself in a position to smash them. Just like if there's somebody that is off limits, a friend, a family member that I think is fine that I would smash. As long as I'm not trying to holler at them or do anything to disrespect my marriage or put myself in a position to smash them, what can she do? What can she do for me looking at her friend thinking, damn, she's fine as hell? She can't do nothing about it. And it has no impact on her relationship unless I take it beyond a thought. So what she thinks about it don't matter. All that matters is what I do, my behavior, thing that a lot of people try to control and dictate. You can't stop what somebody else finds attractive. Just because somebody's in a relationship don't mean that they don't meet other people that they would find sexy or find attractive, that they're not turned on by. So anybody is going to experience that. That's why trust is required in order to have a successful relationship.
It sounds like you don't believe men and women can be wholesome friends.
I think men and women can be wholesome friends. If you have a friendship where you have never done anything sexual with them, that's a friend. But just because you're a friend with a woman doesn't mean that you don't look at her for what she is. Like that's human nature. If she's somebody that is your type that you find attractive, you're going to look at her as somebody that's attractive. That don't mean that you violate the friendship or you romantically involve with her. Into the phone. We get some people saying that they can't hear you.
You said what?
I said some people are saying that they couldn't hear you. Try to speak into the phone a little bit louder.
All right. Can you hear me?
Right, yeah, I can hear you. It's just getting a little chopped up.
Man, so I don't know. This conversation kind of got me sad, man. I don't think that's how it should be, man. I think I hopefully
man.
Believe men and women can be mutually friends. I really believe that.
Hold on, let me make
that
a time out.
Interaction I have with a
focusing
woman has
on how things should be, focusing on how things should be is never going to help you in the way deal with the way things are. Like, I'm constantly telling women, don't worry about how you think things should be. Worry about how they are. You think that men and women should be able to be buddy?
The woman does nothing in this situation. The woman's doing nothing in this situation. It's literally my actions. How I'm going to approach her is my control. But you're telling me, Chris, that's not, like, you got to think of the reality. But the reality is, I control that interaction. I control where it goes. I control how it happens. So, therefore, I have no problem speaking to a woman. If I'm attracted to her, that's just something in the air. But that doesn't mean I'm going to ask her out and get to know her in that romantic way. Dating is romantic. It's not just getting to know somebody. It means there is romantic intentions behind it. So, therefore, before I start dating somebody and I start adding romantic intentions behind it, I need to know who she is as a person. I need to appreciate her and her individuality as a woman. And before I do that, I'm going to need more than just she's fine, I want to have sex with her.
Good luck with that approach, man. Good, I mean, it don't sound like you're gonna experience much more success, but I wish you. Because there's nothing saying that told you earlier. You have to have an attraction to her in order for you.
The basis of you talking to her is sex. It's just because she's attractive, which is because of sex, right? Attraction is based off sex. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's based off physical features and your physical attraction to them.
Well, literally talking to her because of sex. That's it. Because of the notion of sex with them. And I'm saying that's wrong. I'm saying, as a man, we have that control with that interaction to say, I want to get to know you as a woman. Every woman is unique, man. Like,
man, it sounds like you're going to be getting your girl stuck in the friend zone an awful lot, man. It sounds like you're one of the guys that talked yourself into the friend zone based off the way that you're approaching things. Like, any man is going to be getting to know the woman that he's spending time with.
Everybody. So, therefore, if I'm stuck in the friend zone, it's because I want to be in the friend zone.
That's not what that indicates in most cases. Most people are not satisfied being in the friend zone or not happy by being in the friend zone.
Not getting to know somebody, except just not calling it dating. Dating is romantic. If I'm just getting to know somebody, that there's nothing romantic added to that. I feel like you have to deserve romantic. You have to deserve that. That's why courting and all this other type of stuff is dead, man. And it's because it's just all because I think you're sexy and I met you at the club. That's so shallow.
Man, I mean, you can call it, you can have whatever opinion you want about it, but you can't change the way that people interact with one another. So if you feel that way, you need to front. I mean, I have women on my page that talk about fantasy dating like that, where they want to date somebody and want it to be platonic and no romance until they both agree to commit. And that's great. They can take that approach. It just significantly lowers their chance of success, just like you're lowering your chance of success. But if that's the approach that you want to take,
it's not about you. I don't want a greater chance of success. I just want to find that special woman. That's it. It's just one woman. I just want to find one woman. I don't want to.
The chance of success in finding that one woman decreases. Let's move on to a different topic. I wanted to talk about double standards, or the comparison between the ways that men and women view things. On my page, I have discussions with women often where they will take something, or like, for example, the way that men view sex. When there's a big difference in the way that most men view sex, they'll call it a double standard. And when in reality, it's not a double standard. The standard apply to men and women pretty much equally, but men and women have drastically different feelings about sex and how willing they are to give their sex to other people, right? And so when we talk about things that men do, or, you know, women will often say things like, but if a woman did it, you know, a man would have a problem with her, or a woman would be called a hoe if she slept with several people. Those same things apply to men, too. A man that sleeps with several women is still a hoe. He feels differently about being called a hoe. His position in life is different than women. So a lot of the standards that we have apply equally. Like, everybody is expected to own their own behavior. And a lot of times women will call it a double standard when it's really not. It's just a difference in feeling. And I'm always talking about how drastically differently men feel about relationships. Most men don't care about falling in love and having a lasting relationship as much as women do. Men are a lot more generous with their sexual encounters than most women are. So a lot of these things that we classify as double standards don't really qualify by the textbook definition, in my opinion. What do you think about the idea of double standards when it comes to the sex and romance?
I definitely do think there are double standards. But the thing with double standards is I don't like double standards. I think the playing field should be even for both men and women.
I agree.
That means if men are going to say women shouldn't sleep with multiple men, then we should hold ourselves to that same integrity. So, I mean, that's kind of my whole justification with the whole thing. Yeah, I do believe that there are double standards, but I do also think, like, we need to probably move towards a place where there isn't double standards.
I think the double standard, I don't really even think that that's a double standard. The reason that people frown upon women sleeping with several men is because women have babies. That's the fundamental difference that we're the starting point on why men and women's sexuality is viewed differently, right? A woman can sleep with as many men as she wants to, and it's all good until her belly starts growing. And before there was paternity testing, it was a very serious problem because that's why the penalties for adultery and all that were as strict as they were, because when you were having children and you're pregnant by such and such, but inheriting somebody else's name and their fortune, that can get really tricky and it can be really problematic. When the queen gets pregnant by the butler, and her butler's child gets raised as the prince, that's very problematic. So I think that fundamental idea is the reason why men and women's sexuality is looked at differently. You know, I mean, and so, but the expectation is the same. A man that sleeps around with multiple women, he better take care of all the kids he creates. Otherwise, he's going to be looked at negatively by society and other men, right? That's why smart men are responsible with who they get pregnant and who they have children by. The fundamental role that men have is to be providers and to take care of your family. Take care of yourself primarily. If you can't do that, you're definitely not qualified as a man. And in order for real men, the expectation is you need to take care of you and any children you create. You don't got to be living rich. You don't have to have certain expectations, but they need to be taken care of, and that needs to be your priority, opposed to buying bottles in the club or doing things that show you know, you splurging on money when your kids ain't taken care of. I mean, that's the biggest sin that a man can do. You know what I'm saying? Like, not take care of your kids, you don't get no respect from anybody if you are a man in that position. So, like I said, I don't think that that's necessarily, like we said, a double standard. I think that our differences as men and women play a major factor into that. Yes, women have the right to do whatever they want with their body, but that comes with consequences. And so I think those are the things that need to be talked about that kind of get swept under the, oh, it's just a double standard. Like, well, some of these double standards have logic behind it. Well, it's not even a double standard. It's a difference in how men and women are viewed and the roles that we play in society.
Right.
Because
I do think, though,
imagine a woman having 4 or 5 kids and she don't know who they buy.
Right. I do think that all those double standards you talked about were true, but I also believe that there's two types of men and there's one type of woman. And what I mean by that is,
what do you mean? You said two types of men?
Yeah, two types of men. And there's one type of woman. But what I mean by this is there's one man who, if you ask him, how would you like to spend the rest of your life? If you gave him the avenue to spend the rest of his life the way he wanted to spend it, and you said, hey, would you want to spend the entirety of your life sleeping with random women, just new women all the time, blah, 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 for the rest of your life? There's some men who will say yes to that. They want to need a family, and they said there's some men who would enjoy life just sleeping with random women. And then there's another man who says, I just need one. I just need one woman. And then, but on the other hand of a woman, I think every woman wants a family at the end of the day, no matter if it's with kids or not with kids. I feel most women, and when I say all, I mean
most women, but not all.
Yeah, you can't say all, but I will say majority women do want some type of family. And I feel like if you're going around sleeping with random people, you're being counteractive. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like you're not trying to find that guy. Even though at the end of the day, that's your goal. Your goal at the end of the day is to spend the rest of your life with one person and be committed to that person and wholesomely be with that person. I feel like that's counteractive if you're just going around sleeping with people. I feel like you're living your life kind of in a pause because that's not even what you really want in life. You want somebody who's going to be with you. So I feel like with that double standard being said, I feel like that's kind of the avenue. I feel like most women who do have, like, sex like that, just, like, back to back to back, I feel like at someday they will want that relationship. They will want one person, and I feel like they would have wasted that time on somebody else.
I mean, I don't necessarily agree that there are two types of men. I think there are a lot of men that don't care either way. If they find somebody that they're compatible with and they can build a life with, they're cool. If they don't, they're just fine being single. I think that probably represents majority of men. You have a percentage of men that are relationship hungry.
Majority.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the majority, right? But there are a lot of guys that are married to women where they're anxious to be married, anxious to be in a relationship, thinking about falling in love, etc. Those represent a very small percentage of men. And then you have men that are naturally groomed to sleep with multiple women and try to live up to the expectation of being monogamous for the sake of love and family. And that's where the struggle comes in, right? Because a lot of men it's not natural for a lot of men to only be with one woman forever. And so that creates a struggle that most men fail dealing with. You know what I mean? And when you combine
do you feel like monogamy is emphasized at a young age today? Do you think monogamy?
Repeat the question. I didn't hear. I didn't really hear the question.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah. Repeat the question.
Yeah, I said, do you think that monogamy is emphasized at a young age, or do you think it's kind of like, oh, just do whatever you want? You know what I'm saying? It's like, do you feel like monogamy is emphasized, because that's what's being taught. You know what I'm saying? If you're groomed to be with multiple partners your entire life, it's because it wasn't emphasized at a younger age. You didn't think that wasn't the norm. So do you think that it's not emphasized at a young age, monogamy? I'm just asking personally.
I don't know, man. I don't really – I don't recall, like, in my youth, I don't think it was nothing that was really told either way. I don't remember it ever being a big deal about sleeping with one woman. I just was always focused on the pregnancy, you know, the potential of getting a woman pregnant and the responsibility that comes with it. That was what was preached to me and other guys. I don't think that, you know, in church they talk about being married and things of that nature, but, you know, I don't think that that is very practical to expect that, and that's not what you see in society. So, no, I don't think that the idea of being with one woman forever was something that was placed upon most guys. I think it's something that's promoted to women or girls a lot more because fairy tales, Disney movies, romantic comedies, falling in love, love at first sight, like all these kind of cliche mythical things are preached to women, but I don't think that guys, that little boys buy into that.
Right. So I would say majority of monogamous men who say I just want one woman, it's because they had to self-teach themselves to think like that. It wasn't society telling them, because society's telling you to go pretty much be a hoe. Music, through music and other type of entertainment avenues, there's nothing, monogamy is not being promoted. So therefore, what I meant earlier when I said there's one type of woman and there's two types of men, there's a man who listens to the society of what's going on and listens and follows suit to that type of thinking. So therefore, he thinks he isn't too much important to him. But then there's that other group of men who say, you know what, monogamy is important to me. I'm going to emphasize monogamy in my life. And then that's why I said,
I mean, emphasizing it doesn't really do anything to deal with the natural sensations that a person deals with. A dude that grows up and goes to college, or the typical guy that becomes an adult, is going to see several women that he has a desire to sleep with. So being told to be monogamous when he was a little boy don't really matter now that he's a man and he's at the club and at the bar and finally has the opportunity to do what he wants. What difference does it make if somebody told you to be monogamous when there's nothing that requires you to be that way? There's nothing forcing you to do it, and it's not what comes natural to you.
So you're saying, so if polygamy was not so emphasized today through music, having sex with multiple women and everything like that, you're saying that was not the case. You're saying most men would still be thinking in their head that they want to have sex with just multiple women their entire life.
Yeah, that's what comes natural. That's what comes natural. When for most guys, everywhere they go, they see a woman, they see multiple women that they would like to date. No matter church, school, the mall, Walmart. For the average man, everywhere he goes, he sees women that he is sexually attracted to that he would smash.
So you
don't have to be taught to do that. Hormones. You don't have to have anybody show you how to do that. It's something that happens naturally. It's learning how to control it and learning how to keep yourself from doing it that requires the effort and the thought and the you know what I'm saying, the practice. It's easy for people to be involved with multiple people. Being with one is the hard part. Dealing with one person and the things that you dislike about that person, making the relationship work in a functional method is what was so difficult.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Somebody said that's natural for me. It's not just me. I know everyone's not like me, but
what do you mean?
If it was natural for a majority of people, we wouldn't have cheating. Wouldn't be the topic on my page every single day of every question that I get. Insecurity wouldn't be such at a high point. So it's not just me thinking that. This is what majority of men think and experience. So whether you want to accept that or not.
One thing I do know is people don't like discomfort. People do not like discomfort. People don't like discomfort. They don't like being uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is it's kind of like exercise. We all know we should be exercising every day and eating healthy and everything like that, but what does exercise do? It makes us uncomfortable, it makes us sweat, it makes us hot, everything like that. So when you relate that back to just dating, yes, being with one person is harder, and that's why less people are doing that, because it's uncomfortable. you're put in situations where you have to be vulnerable with somebody. You have to show your true self. You have to show your flaws and everything like that. So, yes, I do think it is easier that people just have sex with random people, and it is harder to be with one person. But that doesn't mean that that's what people should start doing. That doesn't mean I should follow suit behind that. Just because I don't
like
comfort is not
the idea of monogamy is relatively new when we're talking about men and women relationships. There are, historically, men were allowed to have multiple wives for a reason, right? So the idea that one man and one woman to get together forever and only be them is a relatively new concept, and there are still people in the world that don't practice it. So I base my perspective off what we see. If being with one woman, like you said, I don't necessarily know if the reason that the struggle is because it's uncomfortable or difficult. I think it's a conflict with what comes naturally. And it's easier to be involved with multiple people because you don't have to give as much time, effort, and attention. So it's a combination of those things that play a factor into it. But when the average guy experiences multiple women that he finds attracted to, is the idea that a man falls in love and no longer is attracted to other women, no longer thinks about doing other things, that's very unrealistic to me. And if that was the case, why are pastors smashing all the chicks in the churches? Why are so people that have high esteem and in positions where it could ruin their lives to sleep with somebody else, why are they inclined and prone to do it? Because it comes natural. Because it's a desire that comes naturally.
So if we're talking about things coming natural, if you get a plate of vegetables, going back to nutrition, if you get a plate of vegetables and you get a plate of nachos, yeah, your body's going to tell you to eat those nachos opposed to that broccoli. But that doesn't mean that's what you should be doing just because your body is telling you to do that.
Well, what you're talking about, though, has to do with preference. It looks like the Instagram Live is about to time out, so we need to take a quick break real quick. We're gonna cancel this. I'm going to cancel this live and restart it up so we can do the last 30 minutes of the discussion. So those of you that are chiming in, I'm about to end this session. I can go live again, and you can refollow, and we'll continue the discussion. If you want to join in, call the guest line now. The number is 929-477-2994. We'll be back on momentarily.
Hello?
Yeah, so go close out your Instagram Live and restart it.
All right. Do I leave? All right, I guess we just chill.
All right, looks like we getting started.
All right, mine says it's about the end of the minute, so I'm about to close my live and then go back on.
All right, y'all, welcome back. We keeping the show, keeping the conversation rolling. The next thing that I wanted to talk about mean in a relationship. Trust is obviously a very vital part of a relationship, and we see what happens when there's a lack of trust. We see that how insecurity can cause a person to think things or behave in ways that ultimately kill their relationships, even if that's not their intention. You know, I think most people that are insecure are trying to find ways to cheat-proof their relationship. They're trying to find ways to make sure that they don't, the person that they love don't leave them. And what they end up doing with their behavior and the way that they go about it is they end up causing the exact thing that they're trying to prevent. So that's why
the idea of being secure in your relationships and having trust is so fundamental. You know, I get women that DM me about ways to catch their man cheating and things of that nature. When if you get to the point where you have to spy on the person that you're with and go through all their things and you don't trust them to do anything without sleep with somebody else, that's a prime indication that you're in the wrong relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not realistic to think that anybody outside of T. Diddy or somebody that's a major celebrity can just go somewhere with any random woman and have sex with them. And so if your expectation is that, oh, he didn't answer his phone in 10 minutes, he's cheating. Oh, he didn't come over or his schedule changed, he's cheating. If that's the very first thing that your brain jumps to when something happens with the person you're with, you're in the wrong relationship. You need to make some changes. You need to make some changes because that is a relationship that's headed for disaster. And I often get questions about once somebody, how do you reestablish trust? That's where the trouble comes in because you may not be able to rebuild trust. Some of these relationships do need to just end. And you may spend years trying to fix something that is unfixable. You know what I mean? Like, and what I've learned is people often try to postpone the pain, right? They know that they're in a situation that's making them unhappy. They know they're in an unhealthy relationship. But instead of breaking up and dealing with the pain right then, they postpone it for 2 or 3 more years.
Uh-huh.
And I think if people can come to grips with the pain, man, breaking up always hurts. Losing a good friend hurts. You know what I'm saying? Like losing your job and losing some coworkers that you really bonded with hurts. Like ending situations and relationships with people that you spent time with and come to know hurt. But that sometimes you have to take that instant pain instead of putting yourself in a position that's going to hurt you over time. What are your thoughts about establishing trust?
Well, first off, I think I'd start the conversation saying that I think kind of in the majority of what today how it works is people trust the label more than they trust the actual person, and I think that's a flaw.
You said the label, you mean the person that they represent themselves to be?
Yeah. Exactly. So what
or,
I mean
or,
is,
or you mean just the boyfriend girlfriend label?
Yeah, I feel like there's more trust in the fact of being called a girlfriend more than actually being treated like a girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? Because there's many women who are in the label of right now of being called girlfriends, but when you look at how they're being treated in the relationship, they're not being treated to that utmost respect of a girlfriend, I believe. And I think that leads to another thing that
what do you mean by that? You mean what do you mean by they're not being treated with respect? What do you mean?
What I mean is there's guys who treat their friends that are dudes better than they treat their girlfriends. They'll support their friends that are guys way more than they support their girlfriend. And I think if that's the relationship that's going on, then there needs to be a real talk about what that label even means and what constitutes behind it. Yeah, so that's pretty much what I mean by that.
Yeah,
I feel like we don't grow trust. I feel like we're not, the way that we go about doing the whole thing, we don't grow trust. And I feel like we don't grow trust for that person by knowing their character. If you know somebody's character, you have a good sense of how they're going to act given a certain situation. And with that trust, one, I feel like when it goes back to texting, I feel like that's a bad habit. I feel like that habit of I need you to text me back immediately, I feel like that's a real bad habit to incorporate in a relationship because it's based off of high school. That whole habit, I feel like, started in high school, like, hey, and it was during a time when responsibility was low. You know what I'm saying? If you have a man and he has to go to a meeting and he can't text, and his wife texts him, she'll have to understand that he's doing something, but he will get back to her. And I feel like that type of respect isn't necessarily correlated when it comes to dating nowadays.
I don't necessarily think that that's a matter of respect. I think that that has to do with expectations. Like, you know, I'm constantly preaching about realistic expectations. Having somebody expect somebody to instantly to text them back no matter what they're doing is not realistic, especially somebody that's an adult that has that's a professional. You know what I mean? So those are the type of things that should be figured out during the dating phase. What are the expectations that you have for somebody that you date? And by spending time with somebody, you figure out if they have realistic views on things or not. You know, you can hear them explain a situation that happened at a restaurant where they going off and they making a big deal and they actually in the wrong. And that's what, you know, like you have to have conversations where you tell them that you thought that they was in the wrong. And some people don't take it very well. You know, a lot of people, especially women, you know, when you criticize their behavior, you tell them something that you're not happy with or you dislike about them. Even if you're doing it with the intention of helping them, a lot of them get in their feelings over it and take it the wrong way. And so that's part.
Like morning text. When you look at, like, what was that? Morning text. I said morning text is a classic example of that situation. A lot of girls will go through the habit of, I'm going to text him every single morning, good morning, and I hope you have a great day. And that's real nice, and that's a really nice gesture. But when you make that a habit, you're going to start depicting your relationship off that. So then what can happen one day is she texts him every single day, good morning, good morning, good morning, expecting him whenever, right when he wakes up to get that good morning text also. But then one day he may oversleep, and then he may not respond for hours and hours until the afternoon. And now she's questioning the relationship at this point because he always responds to her in the morning. So what happened today? He must not like her. So then when questions like that start arising just because of a late text, I feel like you started bad habits already in the relationship.
Yeah.
That's not a good habit.
That
happens every day.
Yeah, well, I get questions about that too. Like, I think a lot of people need to understand that the cycle of dating in a relationship, humans are excited by new things. And so when you meet somebody new and y'all first start talking, y'all talk more, the conversations are longer because you're in the getting to know each other phase. And that usually lasts a couple of months until things start to take a more normal pattern. But there are some people that text each other all day long from the morning throughout the day, pattern that is an expectation that is you're unable to keep up. Because once your schedule changes or once something changes in your schedule where you can't text like that, it creates a major problem for some people. And
yes,
a lot of people supplement those texts that you're no longer sending them. They engage someone else, whether it's through DM, whether it's just through commenting and flirting, you know, sending emojis on their pics. And so it can create a cycle of dependency that can create problems in a relationship. And, like I said, though, I think it's the biggest thing that comes with expectation. Everybody should understand that you don't treat something the same way you treat it. So you get something new 4 months later, you don't treat it the same way you treated it the first month. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same way when we see how children respond to Christmas gifts. On December 25th through January 10th, they play with all their gifts. But then after that, they only play with the biggest gifts that they got, their video game system, the bike, you know what I mean, like the big gifts. And so it's the same thing with relationships. You have to understand that we're not going to be in this flirty, we just met mode for very long. And so you have to create some realistic expectations on what's going to happen going forward. And like you said, to let somebody know, man, sometimes I'm just tired. Sometimes I just don't feel like talking on the phone. Sometimes I just want to watch the game. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you have to set the expectations that just because I can text you every minute of the day doesn't mean I want to. And that's perfectly fine.
The word is important when you say stuff like that.
You said what?
I said how you say it, type of information, is going to really depict how that conversation goes. If it's going to turn into an argument or if it's going to actually be an open-minded conversation with your spouse.
And it depends on the type of person you're dealing with, too. Some people don't have realistic expectations, and they expect stuff like that. You know, and you know, with women, it typically comes with the more attractive they are, that the more absurd their expectations are because they have dudes that kiss their ass all the time and do those type of things. They get the morning beautiful, they post their morning selfie, and they get blew up with the, hey, beautiful, good morning, beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get all those comments every single time they post a selfie. And so, like, it does create a dependency. That's one of the topics that I studied when I was in grad school on how people interact with social media and whatnot. And so, yeah, those things are very true. And it obviously, we know that Facebook and social media plays a major factor in divorce. So those type of things can lead to cheating and lead to relationships crumbling that probably could have survived. And so,
you think,
like
I think you talked about earlier, you said women have this expectation. They have an unrealistic expectation. Where does that expectation come from?
Man, a lot of it comes from what they see on TV and in movies. A lot of the expectations they come up with in their own. They just randomly think that a guy should behave this way because it's what they think. You know, I often find myself asking them questions, trying to get them to explain how they came up with this stuff, and a lot of them just simply think. But they don't have a solid explanation as to why they think these things. And it's one of the things that gives me popularity because I'm able to point out using real-world examples how a lot of these things don't make no damn sense, how they're not based off reality, how they don't line up with how human beings normally interact. And so
I think, you touched on a topic that I wanted you to touch on. I agree with you, and I think that expectation, because it's based off other people's relationships, because it seems like most people that go into a relationship saying, I want this relationship to be like another thing I saw. I want it to be like another person's relationship, opposed to saying, I'm going to enter this relationship off clean slate. I feel like it kind of goes back to like when women come into a relationship and they have like a list, you know what I'm saying? They have a list of things that they like. I mean, you told me earlier that a reason why I've been single is because of my mindset. I disagree, but I do believe that I've been single because I feel like a woman hasn't wholesomely gotten to know me and then also appreciate me and my individuality. What I mean by that is, if you look at me on paper, I look great. I'm an engineering major. I'm not a hoe. You know, I don't go to party too much. I work out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I look really good on paper, but all those things coexist to what are you going to do for me? And I don't want a woman to engage me just based off the whole entire aspect of what I can do for her. I want it to be a little bit more passionate behind that, a little bit more to the consent of, I appreciate you because you're all the extra stuff.
You're not going to be able to control how women look at men. Like, the reason that the men I talk about are so successful with women is because women view them as somebody that they can picture themselves with. They know that men like myself that make the type of income that they look for, that live the type of lifestyle they want to live, that drive the type of vehicles that they want to drive, are going to take care of their kids and have them live in the lifestyle. That's what a woman figures out. When she's figuring out that you're in college and you're an engineer major, she's calculating and figuring out what it means to be married to an engineer that's in his 30s. Not going to be able to control how a woman views you and approaches you. You know what I mean? Like, it's human nature. When you're talking to a girl that's like, oh, I'm finishing in political science and I'm about to go to law school, you're going to automatically be thinking about
well, shoot, this is, I'm potentially going to be dating a lawyer. And you're going to know what salaries come with who you're dating. So to expect a woman to not do that with you is not really realistic.
I'm not expecting a woman not to incorporate those things, but I'm just saying for it to be the main focus, I feel like that's wrong. I feel like there's more to me and there's more to you. I'm pretty sure, just based on this conversation, we're two different individuals, and I'm pretty sure if your wife met me and then she met you, she could be able to tell the difference between both of us dramatically. And what that means is she fell in love with you because there was something unique about you. There was something you did that was different than anybody else that she met. So, therefore, I'm saying, yeah, all that stuff is nice, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, there's 100 million other black men who are majoring in electrical engineering, who work out, who blah, 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 who blah, blah, blah. I don't want to be.
But they're never going to meet the other 100 million. Like, you
but that's the thing that this,
dating is an opportunity. Like, it luck plays a major factor when it comes to dating. Luck, timing, all that matters. So,
luck.
She may never meet another dude that's going to be an engineer, that don't got no kids, that ain't a hoe, like you said, that's the list that you gave out. So she's immediately going to be looking at you as, what do you bring? You meet her list of criteria. She might not meet another dude that got us play like that. Like, you have, like, I mean, you, we've established that your perspective is very, you're the minority. So she might not ever meet a dude that think like you. She might not ever meet a dude that want to be her buddy first and then then have sex with her. Like, she may not ever come across another dude or opportunity like that.
That last thing you stated was something that she wouldn't gain anything off of, and that's what I want. That's why I want somebody. If she's gonna fall in love with characteristics about me, I don't want her to fall in love with I'm an engineer, because all those things. Those are basic things that you can find relatively anywhere else.
Nobody's gonna fall in love with you just because you're an engineer, mate.
But I'm
your major is not gonna get you a chick. Because if you go on a date and you're super lame and you're super boring, all that's not gonna matter. But it gives you.
I'm saying
resume starts off great. Dating resume is awesome from a male perspective because you're checking all the boxes that most women look for. But that's only getting you in the door. Your personality, what she learns about you over the dates that y'all go on, she might not accept another date for you if she didn't like the first one, if she thought you was boring or that you were, even if you in shape and going to make good money, there are a lot of lames with money that don't have girls. There are a lot of dudes that are millionaires that have to pay for sex and things like that. So just having those criteria is not going to put you in the successful dating arena. And
so that's why you might get turned off
by a lot of chicks, and they may be turned off by you.
It goes back to that conversation we were just having about unrealistic expectations. Now, a woman may meet me, and based off the fact that she likes the fact I'm an engineer, she's gonna start coming up with her own expectations behind me being an engineer. And I'm saying just because of a generic thing like that, and I'm saying because it's generic and it's not a unique attribute, why would I not expect her to have unexpected, you know, unrealistic expectations off something that's so generic?
Man, what kind of expectation do you think a woman's going to have just because you're an engineer?
She must do this. She must do that. No, that's not the case. I'm my own unique individual. My job title does not make who I am as a person. And I feel like any woman who's focusing on financial situation going into a relationship, not somebody I will be interested in. Because what if I'm broke? What if I lose money? How am I going to expect her to stay with me if I don't have any money? How am I going to be with me during those hard times? It needs to be something that's more stable, something that I have, that I can always have. And what I mean by that is my own characteristics. My own unique characteristics. I feel, and my own unique characteristics. There's no game behind
it. Well, don't necessarily. Man, somebody looking long term or trying to see how you fit in their life long term is not them playing a game. Like, that's what people have to do. Like, I knew when I first met my wife that we were compatible long term, just off our first couple conversations. So there's nothing wrong with expect or projecting what the possibilities could be with somebody else. But people don't date thinking, what if they get broken and hit rock bottom? Am I going to stick with them or not? Yeah, that sounds great, but that's not how people go into dating. That's not how people go about it. People are not dating preparing for the worst-case scenario because most people don't expect worst-case scenarios.
So if you're going into dating, a woman that wants to date you has to fall in love with something unique about you.
That's not realistic. You can't tell somebody what they got to love about you.
Going into the relationship saying, how is my life going to be with this guy making this amount of money? So therefore, you're already thinking about your future with this person being successful. And I'm just saying that's not fair. I feel like, why are you just thinking about the success, but you're not thinking about the failure? What if he, okay, he's successful. He's
who goes around projecting about failure, bro?
Why do we do it with success, but we don't do it with failure? I do it with success and failure. We're spending our lives with this person. It's not going to all be success. So therefore, if you're only with him because he's making money, I feel like that's wrong.
Man, that's not real. That's not how things work in the real world, man. Most people don't go around thinking about negativity or failure. Like,
it's not negativity. I appreciate somebody because if I like a girl because the way she laughs, opposed to the fact that she's a lawyer, the fact of how she laughs, there's no negative situation that's gonna make me not love the way she laughs. She can lose all the money in the world.
Forget about the way somebody laughs that would make
the way
person want to be with that.
That's what's gonna keep that's
with not, her. That's
if I think she's a lawyer, she's making this amount of money, then I'm gonna just be with her for the money. And I'm telling you, that's wrong. That's all I'm saying. Now, if you focus on things that actually make that person unique, that don't come with other criteria, then what are you talking about, man?
Man, thinking that somebody just has to fall in love with something unique is not realistic either. Like, it sounds like you're setting yourself up to be very unsuccessful with dates.
Yes, that's what it sounds like.
Yes, it sounds like you're going to be disappointed by almost every woman you meet, the male version of my coolest female following. That's what hearing you explain what you expect to look for in dating, that's what it reminds me of. The females that I talk to that are coolest, that take approaches to dating, that almost guarantee they're going to be unsuccessful at finding that person. So it sounds like your approach is going be moving you towards the friend zone, even if that's not where you want it to end up being. And the idea that you think that a woman has to love you for something unique and you have to love something totally unique about her, man, you're setting expectations that bring your percent of chance down to the single digits for sure. Single percentage point. I mean, that's cool, you know what I'm saying, but you're in Indiana. You're not in L.A. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not in New York. So having a small 4% or a very small number like that really hurts you when you're in a city that's not one of the major spots that are going to increase those chances of success. So, I mean.
So what you're telling me is if I go out here, you're telling me I can't just go out here, meet a girl, get her number, ask her on a date, get to know her, make her my girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. That sounds extremely easy in comparison to what I've been talking about. That sounds like something that I can have a girlfriend within a week if I do it the way that you've just been talking about. And my thing that I've been expressing this entire time is I'm not going to take the easy way just because it's available to me. I'm not here to cast a wide net and see and try to get as many fish as possible. That's not my goal. I just want one, just one who believes the same thing that I'm talking about. So at the end of the day, if it's just one girl, if I lowered my statistics to just one girl out there that's going to match me, I'm completely fine with that. And if that means I'll never find her, then that's fine. That's how life happens. But I'm not just going to be trying to just take on everybody who comes just because they're there. I do respect your opinion, though, man.
Well, I mean, it's it's hopefully you make some tweaks and you start to experience some success, because I mean you sound like you got it together. Your heart's in the right place. I just hope you can refine your approach a little bit to help you be more successful, because you're casting such a small net that you're in a situation where dating is a numbers game. The more people you meet, the more potential you have of meeting somebody that you're compatible with. We already established that your level of compatibility is going to be very low just because you're very different than most guys. Your approach to dating significantly lowers your chances. So you're compounding your dating experience with all things that lower your chance of finding. You know what I mean?
And I am completely okay with that. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. So everything that you're saying, I agree with you, because that's what I'm doing. I don't want just anybody. I don't want to. I can go on Tinder tonight and probably have 5 dates for this weekend. I can, within a couple hours probably. But why would I want that? Why would I want that? What's that doing? What's that doing for me?
That's 5 opportunities to meet somebody that you're compatible with.
No, there's other ways where I don't have to make somebody feel that I'm doing something with them that I'm really not trying to do. I just don't feel that I should be trying to just expand as many people to come into me as possible. That doesn't make any sense. No.
Well, looks like we up against the clock, man. I wish we could have got some live calls, and hopefully we can link up and I can have you join in another one of my discussions. Those of y'all that tuned in, I appreciate the love. Appreciate y'all taking y'all time out on Memorial Day to rock with us. CT, man, I appreciate you giving some perspective and sharing some insight with my followers. And we'll try to get something linked up in the future, man. You have a good one.
All right, you too, man.
I got a feeling that you might be. Do I turn you on? You can tell me if I'm wrong. Girl, I think you might be. And she don't even smoke, but she swear I got that dope. Love it when I fuck in them. Hey, hot sex is the best sex. Whenever she's stressed, she just wanna get. Well, get high, baby. Get high, baby. Is you rolling? I might be. You the sugar, honey, ice tea. What I got a hint for? You know I'm a nympho. On my Marshawn Lynch. You know what I'm here for? Hey, ride through the city and get. Take you to the crib and have one hell of a night. It's ironic 'cause we on cloud. Girl, make up your mind.